He's being investigated by the Secretary of the Navy for taking gifts from defense contractors, the same contractors he attacked because he said they were cheating the government. Rickover's supporters say the investigation is just the latest salvo in the Navy's ongoing battle with its most famous and most cantankerous admiral. The man who made his reputation by setting an almost impossible standard of excellence and then driving himself and others to meet that test. Until now, Rickover, who retired from the Navy 3 years ago, has refused to speak publicly about the new controversy. And indeed, he hasn't given an unrestricted personal interview on television since 1957. At 84, the Admiral retains the famous style: combative, challenging, deliberately provocative.
Oh, I never have thought I was smart. I thought the people I dealt with were dumb, including you.
I'll tell you, to be called dumb by you is to be in very good company. Edward R. Murrow, for one, I think he asked you stupid questions.
Well, I told him he was asking stupid questions, and he agreed. He says, well, what question should I ask? And I told him.
You're looking for easy solutions. The trouble with you is you want easy answers, but you don't know the proper questions.
All right. You go ahead and phrase the question and then phrase the answer.
Perhaps the question should be, what should be the role of educated or intellectual people in the United States? Now, does that sound like a better question?
That's a fine question.
In an interview or on a ship, Hyman George Rickover likes to take command. Even at 84, the admiral can inspect a submarine with the agility of an ensign. In Rickover's mind, these are his submarines. He designed the reactor, he trained the men. One out of four admirals commanding ships today was trained by Rickover. His nuclear empire became known as Rickover's Navy, and it ran solely Rickover's way.
And you just thought that the rules of the Navy were silly.
I don't know, but I never read the rules. We never had a book of Navy regulations in my office. I prohibited it. One time some guy brought it in, and I told him to get the hell out and burn it.
Because you wanted them to think.
I wanted them to think if they knew what their job was, they didn't need a book of regulations.
How can you run a Navy if everybody in it acts like you do?
I never told the others how to act. I acted my own way, my own genius.
But you know they said that you were unaccountable.
I was 100% accountable. If anything had ever gone wrong with a nuclear ship, to whom would they have pointed their finger at? What they mean is I would not do all the things they asked me to do. I did the things I thought was right.
But that's not working within the system. Isn't that what the military is about, working within the system?
My job was not to work within the system. My job was to get things done and make this country strong.
What he got done was this: the Nautilus, the world's first nuclear-powered submarine, launched in 1952, the machine that would change military strategy forever. This submarine could stay underwater for months. Rickover stunned the world by building the Nautilus from scratch in only 5 years, leaving the Russians far behind. Many people called him the best engineer the Navy ever had. Today, there are 141 ships in the nuclear fleet. But once, there was just the man and his obsession with science, not saluting, with engineering, not command.
What drew you down into the body of the ship to learn about why the cranks cranked and the...
Well, for Christ's sake, what the hell is there about standing up and saluting and dressing up in the uniform? You can put dummies to do that job.
That's why you became an engineer?
Well,
Naval engineer?
In the Navy, and I could do more and I could learn more. I couldn't see myself just standing off to the deck watches and saluting and all that nonsense.
But why did you work so hard?
I was getting paid for it.
No, why did you work so...
I would have worked hard at any job. No job I ever undertook that I didn't work hard on.
Why? Why did it all matter
to you so
much?
Because that's what being a human being is, to do the best you can under any circumstances.
What is at the heart of leadership? Is it in personality, charisma?
No. For example, I have the charisma of a chipmunk. So what the hell difference does that make?
It was certainly not his personality that won Rickover 3 Distinguished Service Medals. And to celebrate the Nautilus, a ticker tape parade through the streets of New York, a long way from the tiny town in Russian-occupied Poland where Rickover was born, the son of a tailor. A long way for the boy who landed at Ellis Island at the age of 6 and grew up in a ghetto in Chicago, and won an appointment to the Naval Academy at Annapolis, He was terrified he wouldn't make it. He became the class grind.
Did you ever go out on dates?
No.
Did you ever go to dances?
No.
Did you ever go to the movies?
On Saturday night, occasionally, I studied. Girls didn't... I was so busy trying to get by, stay alive, that I didn't worry about girls. You can get along without girls. Yeah. Don't wink at me.
Was it a very snobbish atmosphere?
No. Sure, everybody got hazing there at that time, and I got probably somewhat more than the average. So what? I was mature.
Why did you get more than other people, you think?
Because I was Jewish. They didn't have any...
Very rare for
to me, look at me. You know, I think many years later, one of those, I was going to use the word bastard, came out.
Favors.
Those who were treating me that way. Of course.
Ask me for favors for them. Those who had treated me that way, I wouldn't do it.
You remembered him?
Of course. And the most pleasant thing was in becoming an officer and going to a ship and seeing the mature adult attitude in which one was treated as compared to that lousy boys' school.
Today, that lousy boys' school has a science building named for Rickover. Inside, models of his submarines and the testing devices he invented. Rickover's science and a Rickover superstition, it's supposed to be good luck to rub his nose, the one on the statue. And how about the Rickover stories? The admirals who run the Naval Academy remember being grilled by Rickover when they applied for admission to his nuclear sub school.
One young man there came in with long hair, and he told him he had to choose between the long hair and the program. And he walked out and said, my girlfriend likes this ponytail.
Fine. That was the end. The little son of a bitch should have got them cut it all off and gotten a wig.
I heard that you had people come in, and you sat them down in chairs in which some of the legs were shorter than the others.
No, not only two. I saw 6 inches from
only two.
And it was difficult because it was a shiny chair, and they kept on sliding off. So they had to maintain their wits about them while they were asked these questions, while they were sliding off the chair.
And what about those that you brought in and made stand in the broom closet?
Well, they came in, they gave stupid answers, so I thought I'd give them a chance to think. I'd put them in there for a couple hours, 3 hours, and I gave them plenty of time to think.
But what were you trying to do with these young men who came into
you? I was trying to draw out of them what they had potentially in them.
A young ensign from Georgia eluded the broom closet but couldn't escape Rickover's demand for excellence.
But did you hate him? A little?
When I hated him. Because he demanded more from me than I thought I could deliver.
James Earl Carter hated him, revered him, and became his commander-in-chief.
Is anyone his boss?
I never really felt like his boss, although he would say that I was. I'm not sure that he ever acknowledged it really deep down in his heart.
Carter and four other presidents would intervene to keep Rickover on active duty 20 years past his retirement date. The Navy was not pleased. It had been trying to retire Rickover as far back as the year he launched the Nautilus. His fellow officers were tired of his abrasiveness and contempt for regulations. But Rickover had taken care to build alliances in the White House and on Capitol Hill. In a public relations tour de force, he cultivated members of Congress by asking their wives to sign the keels of his submarines and by turning his launches into lavish photo opportunities for his congressional supporters.
Well, it's a confrontation.
He valued their protection. They valued his blunt testimony.
What do you think is the prospect then for nuclear war?
Well, I think we'll probably destroy ourselves. So what difference will it make? Some new species will come up that might be wiser than we are. I do not believe in divine intercession. In the eyes of the Lord, we are not the most important thing in the universe.
The Reagan administration finally forced Rickover to retire in 1982. Nearly everyone said he was too old. But after 64 years of service, he didn't even receive the courtesy of a call.
My wife told me it's on the radio that you're fired. That's how I found out about it. Yeah. That's how the Navy notified me, by wife hearing it on TV.
Were you surprised when the Reagan administration told him goodbye?
No, because the defense contractors were out to get Rickover for a long time. he was an embarrassment to them, and he was part of a one-man watchdog.
There was over $1 billion worth of claims by shipbuilders, which I thought were false, and I fought it. Now, it's quite a complete coincidence, but within a month or 2 months after I left, most of that money was given to the shipbuilders. Of course, that's a coincidence.
The shipbuilders did hate him because he refused to pay them and because he demanded perfection. He said they didn't know ships from horse droppings. And now, Rickover has been charged with taking presents from the shipbuilders. A former executive from one contractor, General Dynamics, was the first to reveal that Rickover had been given gifts. A lot of them, some of them expensive.
Oh, they gave me little plaques. They gave me all kinds. One time, I think, I even got a small diamond by the time I was married. But the question that so did others. I don't deny it. But the question that ought to be asked is, did I ever favor General Dynamics or any other contractor? The question is whether it influenced.
How can an American citizen know whether it influenced you or not?
I didn't think about the views of the American citizen. I was governed by my own thoughts.
In fact, Rickover requested a lot of the gifts so he could give them to members of Congress who supported his subs. Expensive gifts, and not just the keychains he picked up off his desk.
Why do you think this has come out now?
On the kind of
General
claims.
Dynamics.
I accused them of false claims.
General Dynamics.
General Dynamics. Always stuck to.
And you think this is just a little revenge they're taking on you?
I don't care. They're not taking any revenge on me. I have my own conscience. You think I was crooked when I was in office? Do you think the public thinks so? Because I get things like that.
But do you worry that at the end of this long career that something like this is raised and your ethics are questioned in the press?
It doesn't bother me. I think God knows what I did. And I don't care what the contractors or you think.
What Rickover admits to caring about is American education. Over the years, he has given $100,000 of his own money to educational projects. And now he's raised some $200,000 for a foundation of his own, the Rickover Science Institute, which brings 60 gifted students to Washington each summer for intensive study.
What is it that you think the gifted children most need that they're not getting in the school
system? They need the exercise of their brains. They need not to be kept in apathy, not to let their parents run around and have a good time. The primary function of parents in this world is to raise their children to the best of their ability. They're not doing it.
Okay, well, I agree with you in that we need to invest more money.
Well, thank you very much.
And sometimes the educator can't resist being the admiral again.
And they seem to be increasing.
You better talk up because the audience is not hearing what you're saying. Start all over again and talk up. All your equipment. Come on.
If Rickover is hard on parents and kids, he's also hard on an institution he fathered, civilian nuclear power. This is the plant at Three Mile Island. Rickover built the first civilian nuclear plant. He says nuclear energy will be necessary for the future because Americans are squandering their resources. But he worries that the plant technicians are not being properly supervised, and he worries where the nuclear discovery will lead.
One of the most remarkable things that he ever told me was when we were together on the submarine, and he said that he wished that a nuclear explosive had never been evolved. And then he said, I wish that nuclear power had never been discovered. And I said, Admiral, this is your life. He said, I would forego all the accomplishments of my life, and I would be willing to forego all the advantages of nuclear power to propel ships, for medical research, and for every other purpose of generating electric power, if we could have avoided the evolution of atomic explosives.
Who's the biggest threat in the use of nuclear weapons? Is it the Russians?
It's always somebody else, of course. And you might think maybe it's both the fault of both of us. Where do I sign? Here?
Right, sir.
Why don't you write your initial? People will always remember how you look. They'll never forget.
You won't even accept the bureaucracy of signing your name out.
I never have. Even in the military, I'll do that.
You don't agree with the rule?
I agree. Any rule that I like, I agree with.
Rickover walks 4 miles a day and works 11 hours, arranging fundraisers and speeches. Here with the director of his foundation, Joanne DiGennaro. He's also working on a book, a kind of summation. The text will be taken from these notebooks, 100 volumes of thoughts and ideas Rickover has written and collected through his lifetime.
It says Dean Acheson said...
And among the volumes, a glimpse of the private Rickover, a man few people other than his second wife, Eleanor, know. The love letters he wrote to his first wife 50 years ago.
This is, you were on a submarine.
Yeah, what did I say?
And you were, read this to me. This is so terrific.
I'll read it to you. Forgive me for not writing more. I am so tired. Above all, though, there is the clear thought of you and of my love. Your vision is ever fresh, smiling, and lovely. Your lightness and alertness contrasts with my drowsiness. Good night. I shall fall asleep with thoughts of you as my lullaby. Is that a good quote?
The letters his first wife wrote back are gone. Rickover says he burned them in despair the night she died.
Do you think there's an afterlife?
I don't know. I've never talked with any of the people there, and I don't know. Never met any yet.
You don't think it likely there's a heaven and a hell?
I don't give any thought to that. I think you make your heaven and hell right on this earth.
Do you
should act on this earth as if it were heaven.